We continue our learning. We are in Adios, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Yud Beis. A little bit of an introduction back to the laws of Tumah V'Tahara of Tumas Mace in an Ohel. So we know that if you have a mace underneath a roof, so that permeates the entire area under the roof, and any person or any kli that's underneath that roof becomes Tumah Mace. What if you have a roof where there is a crack in the ceiling, and now there's a gap between one side and the other? So if you have a mace under one side of the roof, it will not permeate the entire area because there's a break in between. There's a crack in between. What if you close off that gap? So obviously, it's one roof once again. So there, the Mishnah, this is an Ahlos, Perek Yud Aleph, Mishnah Beis, and the Mishnah Gimel, discusses an Achsadra, an area that has poles, that has three walls, and the fourth side is fully open, and there is a crack in the roof, and you have a mace on one side of the roof, and obviously that side is not attached to the other. So the Mishnah there says that there's a possibility that the roof can be considered closed off and the tumah will permeate the entire area under the roof. If you have underneath the crack, let's say a beam that is a tefach off the ground, if there's a tefach space, airspace, between the top of that beam and the ground, that's considered its own little ohel. And that ohel will now close off the gap between one side and one side and the other. An ohel is considered an area that you have a plank, let's say, and an area beneath it, at least an airspace of a tefach. It could be more, it could be higher. It doesn't have to go all the way up to the roof to close off the gap. It's enough that it's on the ground underneath that crack. As long as it's not sitting on the ground, as long as it's an airspace of a tefach beneath that plank, let's say that piece of wood, it could be a piece of clothing as well. And if you have that, so then you have yourself an ohel, a little ohel, and that ohel will now make the entire ohel and connect the entire area. So here the Mishnah is discussing, let's say you don't have a beam that's under the crack, on towards the ground, a tefach or above from the ground. Remember, that has to be an airspace. So the tefach below it, you have a person, the person's lying there. So will we say that the person lying there on the ground is as if we're able to draw an imaginary line all the way up to the crack, and as if it's closing off the crack, and the entire area beneath the roof is closed off and is considered one area for the purposes of tumah. So the Mishnah here says, Adam shu nasan tachas hasedek. You have a person who's lying under this achsadra, underneath this area, closed area, where there's a roof. He's on the ground. So beishamay omrim eino, maybe it's atuma. Now he does not close off the crack underneath it. Why not? Because the person is lying on the ground, and if he's lying on the ground, he doesn't have underneath him maybe a curved area on his back. He has a little bit of airspace between him and the ground, but you don't have a poseach tefach across the entire area of the roof underneath the person. The person is lying on the ground. So, of course, it can't bring tumah to the other side. A person is hollow. It's true, person may have intestines, organs inside the body, but we view the inside of the body. Chalulim. Isn't that the way we describe our bodies in the Baruch HaVashe Yotza? So if a person is like hollow, and we view as if that the area underneath him is open, so then indeed, from the top of his body to the bottom, we do have an open space of a tefach, and therefore hatzad ha'elyon, the top or part of the body, which is indeed a tefach above the ground, and underneath it, of the top of that body, is an open space, so to speak, is the chalul, is the hollow area of the body, maybe a satuma. That can bring tumah now from one side of the roof to the other side, because we view as if the body is closing off that gap. We begin the fifth perek of Adios. Abido Omer Shisha Dvarim Mikule Beishamai Mechum Beishila. We have six things, six areas of halacha where Beishamai is lenient and Beishila is more strict. So this is coming to add on. We have we're going to end up, as we said at the end, with 23. So the first of Rabbi Huda's list is Dam Nevelos Beishamai Mitarin Uveishila Mitamin. The beloved Nevela. Nevela here, you have a person who is, let's say, shechting a chicken, and it became a Nevela right away. He passed the shechita. It's invalid. So there we're speaking about, that's the Beitzah on Nevela. We'll discuss that in a second. Dam Nevela just means the blood of Nevela. Beishamai is Mitarin. He says the dam of that comes from a Nevela is is not tamei. Obviously, you could shecht it too. I mean, the point is that you shechted an animal and it became an avela, let's say right now, and blood comes out of it, or you see a dead avela, the animal was hit by a car, let's say. So it wasn't shechted properly. There's blood on the ground. Is that blood tamei? Beis Shammai says no. Uveisilel omri, uveisilel mitamin. Beis Hillel says, no, that the blood is going to be tamei, the dam of an avela. Now, the Gemara in Menachos and Daf Kuf Dalet says, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, afkesh timu Beis Hillel, lo timu ele berevius. The Beis Hillel says that you need a minimum of a revius, a quarter of a lug, which is the amount of wine we use for Kiddush, minimally. A quarter of a lug of blood of a nevela is going to be tummy. What kind of shiur is that? Why less than that is not tummy? Like according to Beis Shammai, dam nevela is not tummy at all. Okay, fine. But according to Beis Hillel, it's tummy. Why do you need a minimum of a revius? So the answer is a revius, we assume, when it congeals, equals the size of a kezias, becomes the solid of a kezias. And since a kezias has significance when it comes to a nevela, a piece of a nevela, of the bat of the animal, not the blood, but a piece of the nevela, everyone agrees, is metame b'kezias. So to the blood has to have a revius, which when that liquid congeals becomes a kezias. Why does Beis Shammai say that the blood is not tame? So the answer is that only the blood of the basar of the basar of the nevela becomes tame, and blood does not have the status of basar. Blood is something else. So if only the flesh of the nevela is metame. Is tame, and the other parts of the body are not, so the blood is not considered part of the flesh. Beis Hillel's opinion that the dam is tame, whether it's a machlokas rishon, whether that's he considers this a dindorais, like we say damo kibsaro, where the dam has the status of the flesh, or maybe no, it's only a dindorabanan, and that's why we're machmir in terms of the shiur. The shiur has to equal a kezias. The same way when it comes to the meat, the flesh of the animal is tame. So when it comes to the blood, we're going to take the amount of blood that if it congeals, it's a kezias, even though midorais or blood is really not tame like flesh. Then the Mishnah says another area of halacha. So this is where a person checks the chicken and it becomes a nevela and he finds a beitza inside. So does that the beitza have the status of the nevela? Therefore, we're not allowed to eat it because I can't eat a nevela. Or do we say no? The beitza is it's its own entity and you're able to eat it. Because it's coming from a kosher animal. And then a baits of a non-kosher animal, we know you can't eat. But a baits of a kosher animal, you can. But here the animal's an avela, so I can't eat the flesh. But maybe the baits of the egg that's in this chicken is going to be kosher. So the Mishnah says, Im yesh kayotze ba, lim keres bashuk. If you would find an egg like this that is sold in the marketplace, which means that it's pretty much completed, this egg. When you shechted the animal, the chicken here, and you made it into an avela, so it's reached the stage of development that normally you would have. The shell is hard. You would find an egg like this in the market. So then this would be muteris of imlav. But if not, meaning the shell is not hard enough that you would sell an egg such as this in the shuk, then asura, then it becomes also like the guf, the body of the nevela itself. Is this a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan? So, of course, it's a mission here says, Beis Hillel Ostrom. Beis Hillel says, no, you can't have this beitza even though you find one that's nimkeres bashuk. So we assume this is only a chumra d'rabbanan. Mi d'oraisa, we consider an egg a separate entity, and it has nothing to do with the flesh of the bird in this case. So the bird is a nevela, doesn't mean the egg is a nevela. Once the egg has reached a certain stage of development. Nonetheless, Beis Hillel says, even though you'll find an egg like this sold in the shuk, we're going to be strict, and will not consider it an egg that is kosher because it's coming from a nevela animal, midrabbanan. Then the Mishnah says, Umodim, but Beis Shammai will agree with Beis Hillel that and will be strict. Bebeitzas treifa. If you have the beitza of a bird. Now, this is a kosher bird that became a treifa. You found a beitza inside a tanagolis that after you shechted it, you found it a treifa, the shiyasur. That you're not allowed to eat. And that would be true even if you find that it's a complete entity and if the shell is hard and you would sell like this in the shuk. Why? Mibnei, very different between an avela and a treifa. Mibnei shegadlabis. Or here, the beitza was growing in a treifa animal. They had some, the animal as a treifa As discussed in the third parak of Chulin, you have some type of defect, some type of missing an organ, a part of an organ that would the animal would die within a year. So that animal is also. You realize that this egg was growing in although a kosher animal, kosher chicken, that was a trefa all along. And since it grew b'isser, this is therefore this egg is going to be usser, even though it's a full entity. This is a beishama would agree with Beis Hillel. We have to be strict. Then halacha number three. Remember there are six here. Dam nachris. The dam nido, the dam ziva of a non-Jewish woman, and the dam tara shel mitzoras, or the dam tara, the dam that a mitzoras, let's say you have a woman who's a mitzora, and after she gives birth, she sees blood during the Demei Tara. Remember we mentioned this in a previous shiurim. Let's say after giving birth to a male, so she's Tomea for 7 days, and then the next 33 days, that is called Dam Toar. She's permitted to be with her husband. We don't have to worry about that, but this is the Dam Toar, but this woman is also Mitzora. So here, what do we do with what's the status of Dam Nachris, or the Dam Toar, those 33 days after giving birth to a male, or the 66 days after the 14 days of Tum of giving birth to a female. Once again, the 33 days after the 7 days of Tum of giving birth to a male, or the 66 days of Dam Toar, that blood after the 14 days of Tum after giving birth to a female, what's the status of that if the woman is a Mitzora? That and the Dam of a non-Jewish woman, Beishama Mitarin. Beishamai says that that is going to be Tahor. What's that based on? So let's discuss the Dam Nida and Dam Ziva. The Torah says in Parshas Mitzora, Dabel B'nei Israel. In the introduction to the laws of Nida, the laws of Ziva, the Torah speaks about B'nai Israel. And the Gemara learns that B'nai Israel mitamin B'nido v'ziva, v'nanachim mitamin B'nido v'ziva. So there's no Tumas Nida, no Tumas Ziva for the Dam of Nachrim. Nonetheless, the Chachamim made a gzera that we have to treat non-Jewish women like their Azava, but Beis Shammai says they weren't, didn't make a gzera on the Dam of Nachris at all. So in what way do we treat non-Jewish women like a zava? Not regarding their blood, but regarding their saliva or urine, which is rokadne raglea, which is something very common, not as common as bleeding. And there we have to be strict. That would be true generally of a zava as well. The saliva and the meraglea. I'm not sure when it comes to a zav too, that there is a high level of tumah to those those liquids that come from the body of someone who has a high level of tumah. So the gzera derabanan, or even though midoraisa a non-Jewish woman is not metama b'nida v'ziva, nonetheless midorabanan, we are strict, but only strict regarding not the blood, rather just the roke and the meraglayim. That is Beis Shammai's opinion. Beis Hillel omim kiroka uchime meragleha. Beis Hillel says, just like the roke and the meraglaim of a nachris, of a non-Jewish woman, have the status of tumah, we give it tumah, even though midoraisa, that's not tumah, we're going to treat the blood as well. That's also asur midorabanan. Is there any difference then between the Zava, who's a non-Jewish woman, and the Zava, who's a Jewish woman? The answer is yes. According to Beis Hillel, even when it comes to the blood of a nachris, who we say is mitama meziva, nonetheless, we're not as strict with that blood as we are for Adam Yisraelis. Adam of a woman who's a Jewish woman is mitame bein balach bein miyavish, whether it's liquid or it's already dry. But Adam HaNachris is only mitame when it's moist and not when it is dry. So there we already have a difference between a non-Jewish woman and a Jewish woman. Then the Mishnah, now what about the Dam Tara v'Mitzor? We didn't discuss that. Why do we say, Beis Shammai says, this is once again the Dam Tohar, the blood during the 33 days or 66 days of a woman who's a Yoledes, but she's also a Mitzora. So why Beis Shammai says that's Tahor? Why? Because they say a Mitzoras should have a din of every Yoledes, and the Dam Tohar during those days are Tahor. Beis Hillel held, why are they strict? No, it's going to be, we have to be, since she is a Mitzoras, and we have to be concerned with the roke and the meraglaim, the saliva and the urine of the Mitzoras, we have to be concerned with her blood as well. Similarly to what we did when it came to the Nachris, we have to do with respect to the Mitzoras, and therefore that Dam Tohar is going to be and we have to treat as Tamei Midrabanan. Number five on this list. Ochlin Peiro Shvius Bitova Vishalo Bitova Kedive Beishama. Beishama says, when it comes to the Peiros of the Shnas HaShmita, of the Shmita Yer, which are Hefker, everyone's allowed to walk into people's fields and take. Beishama holds that you're permitted to be Makir Tov, to thank the Baal Hasad, to thank him for the fruit that you're taking after you walk into his field. But you could also walk into his field and not say anything to him. There's no halacha one way or the other. Uveisil omim ein ochlin el betova. Beisil says, no, you're supposed to, the Chachamim made a takano, a gzera, that we have to treat Shvita in a strict way, and every time you walk in, you have to say thank you. I really appreciate being able to walk in. It's Hefker, what are you thanking him? It's not him. It's not his. Hashem gave it to you, so you don't have to thank him at all. So the answer is because we don't want people to get so comfortable during the Shmita year walking into someone's garden, someone's field, and taking their fruit without the person knowing. So since you always, every time you walk in during the Shemitah year, you know you have to say thank you, that will remind you that on a regular year, you can't just walk in. If I get used to the Shemitah year walking in and not having to say anything, maybe I'll walk in during the sixth year, during the fifth year, etc. And some have a gears that Basil says just the opposite. Basil holds, whereas Beshamai said, you could say thank you, not say thank you, doesn't matter. Basil said, what? No, you have to say thank you. There's another gears, another text that says just the opposite. Basil says, ain ochlin betova. You're not allowed to thank him. Why? Because why he's saying thank you? The Torah gives this to you. You don't have to show your appreciation. This is similar to like the avak ribis. Let's say you have a case where someone lent someone money. Lent him money, did him a favor. So you're not allowed to greet that person if you normally did not greet that person. That's because you paid back the $100, the loan, and now that person's getting a bracha. Oh, good morning. How are you? Nice to see you. Shalom Aleichem. So you weren't saying Shalom Aleichem before. We don't allow you to greet him Shalom Aleichem again if that's not what you were doing before the loan, because that's considered a ribis drabban and avak ribis. Here too, if the Torah says that I want you, not exactly the same, but the same idea. Torah Hashem says, I don't want you to don't thank him. This is not his. This is not because of his, he's so gracious. It's because the Torah doesn't allow him to take it for himself. So therefore, you should not say thank you. So different opinions where the Beis Hillel says no, specifically says thank you, so you don't get used to walking into the field and not saying anything to the owner and walking in potentially during a non-Shemitah year to take something. That is permission. And or maybe no, specifically we don't say thank you at all because you're not supposed to be machzik tova when it's not his good grace that you're giving it, he's giving it to, which because of the Torah. And halacha number six, Mishnah says hachemes, regarding the chemes. You have that in Parshas Vayera, vayichlu hamayim en hachemes, which is a canteen made out of leather. So hachemes beishamai omrim tsurura omedes. What does tsurura mean? If there's a hole, there's a perforation in the chemes, so then it's not going to be mekabel tumah until it is tied up to the point where if you will, that perforation is going to be closed. Sometimes people can tie up a canteen with a rope or something like that, but now it'll close it off. But if that's not gonna, if you take away that rope, it's still going, it's the perforation will still be there. It's not going to close off on its own and shrink together. So then, according to Beis Shammai, he says, Tsurura Omedes. Only if that perforation will stay closed on its own do we say, okay, now it's metabel kamel tumah once again, because Kli, that if everything falls out of it, it's not saying that's not metabel tumah anymore. But here, you closed it up so that it can be used the way it was before. And even if you take off this rope that tied it together, it stays, now it's shrunk a little bit and now it's closed and nothing's leaking out. So then it's metabel tumah once again, but not, remember, Shammai is the one lenient in these Mishnais. But if not, so then we have to assume if you're telling me that if you take this rope off, it's not going to stay closed and liquid is going to leak out, then it's not makabel tumah. And beisilom afal pisha ena tsurura. If you're able to somehow tie up that perforation, even though you'll say that even though the hide itself didn't close off and shrink up to close it off on its own, but since the end of the day you're able to use it, it's tied up, and therefore you're able to. You're able to use it the way it was. Beis Hillel says, then it's enough of a kli, and it is mekabel tumah.